Good morning. It is a joy to be with you this morning. I want to bring a greeting on behalf of the AFLC family from President Lyndon Cornyn to the schools, both the Bible school and seminary, to the Missions Corporation, both home missions and world missions, and then to the Coring Committee Corporation, including both the Development Department, Parachute and Publications, Evangelism, Commission on Evangelism, and Youth Ministry. AFLC Youth Ministry exists to win teens to Jesus Christ by His Word, to build them up in God's Word and God's love, to equip them to live out their faith and share their faith, resulting in the multiplying of maturing teen disciples of Jesus. One of those opportunities coming up this summer is Fly Beyond, our National Youth Equipping Week, July 16th through 20th at the Association Retreat Center in Osceola, Wisconsin. We're excited to have back Tim Barnett from Stand to Reason, National Organization of Apologetics. Tim will be doing a session multiple days with us. Then also Pastor Brett Bowe, former president of the Fly Convention, will be doing a Bible study throughout that week. And we have a number of other volunteer and vocational youth leaders involved with the week. We're very excited for Fly Beyond. I know congregation here has information. If any family or parent or teen has a question about it, we'd be happy to answer it afterwards. My wife, Jennifer, and I have been married for 284 months. We had some friends in college that started counting by months, and it caught on for us. So you can welcome to greet me at the door with the number of months for your marriage. We have five kids, two are college age, two our high school age, and our youngest turned 14 on Friday, which means he will be entering freshman year of high school next year. I am a child of God through faith in Jesus. I praise the Lord for how He works through His Word and how He both calls us to Him and calls us into service. So I'm grateful to be with you today looking at passing on the faith to the next generation. If you walk into a Christian bookstore, you may reach and pick out a book called Youth Ministry 3.0. The author makes a case that in today's American Christianity, it's crucial that we move from programs to focusing on people. But just a few books down on that bookshelf, you might pull off the book named Shift, in which the author makes the case that we've focused too long on people and need to move to programs. So what's going on in our culture? Why do we have this tension? We're going to look today at the passage that Jesus went back to when asked, what is the greatest commandment? And within it, we're going to find the significance of passing on the faith to generation. Both the reality about the people and who is involved, but then also the how that's involved. I invite you to turn in your Bible or scan on your phone to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the Word of God, but this morning I'm going to invite you to remain seated as we look through this passage together. I want to read this in the precious name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, and a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you lie down, when you walk on the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Heavenly Father, this is your mighty word. We pray, Lord God, that you guide us into it and highlight for us the ways in which you are calling us to be the body and to pass on this faith in you, the living triune God. Lord, we do pray that you guide us into your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. First, notice with me the who that's involved in this passing on the faith. There is the physical family. Verse 2 stresses that you, your son, your son's son, that there's this family line of passing on the faith. That God is who he is, and he's calling us in our families to be prioritizing this faith in the living Lord. Verse 7 describes, to the family, you shall teach them diligently to your children. It describes, you shall talk of them when you sit, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. It's picturing the Hebrew understanding of the day started at dusk, at night. Why? In the beginning, it was dark. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, we went from dark to light. So they understood their days as darkness into light. In our Minnesota, you know, language, or it'd be, depends on daylight savings, but roughly, you know, 7 o'clock at night till 7 o'clock the next night. So in verse 7, telling the family that all day, every day, let our conversations point back to who the Lord is. That this is for our families. Verse 9 describes that write these truths rooted in God's word on the doorposts of your house. This picture all presses onto families. Sticky Faith, one of the broadest studies on youth in the United States from Fuller Youth Institute, their results were that families passing on blandness of faith ends up with no faith. Families passing on a blandness of faith passes on no faith. The call to families to have this significant, vibrant faith for the adults and impressing that upon kids. The other thing Dr. Kara Paul commented, she said, we didn't realize how important grandparents were in this. How important caring adults around the family were. Family, you have been given a charge to pass on the faith. But it's also the family of God. Notice with me here in verse 3, hear, O Israel. Verse 4, hear, O Israel. Verse 9, on your gates. Now maybe in our American culture we think of gates, we think this white picket fence, you open the gate to go down the sidewalk to your house. But that's not the Old Testament picture of gates. Gates were on two places till this point. In Scripture, they're on the city gate, and on the tabernacle. The picture was the family of God on your doorposts, family, and on your gates, family of God. This is a priority for passing on the faith to the next generation. That's the who, the family of God, the family. Both championing, pointing to the living Savior King in our lives. The people in this room are significant for passing on the faith to the next generation. The majority of the passage, though, focuses on the what and the how of this. Notice with me, there's four specific actions that are highlighted here. There are actions of loving, actions of listening, living, and then ultimately leading others. Loving here starts at the very heart of it, is the heart of what Jesus pointed back to. Notice verse 4 and verse 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your might. This loving God, it starts from him. Scripture is plain from beginning to end that this is about a love relationship with him that he has sought out with us. The word is consistent about God's character, that he is loving, that he is active towards us. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 talks about God's character. He is abounding in love. He's maintaining love to thousands. And in response to his love, he's inviting us, verse 5, to love him. But it starts with him. How well do you love the Lord God? How well is your loving action towards Christ? That loving towards Christ will be a temperature gauge of your love and heart for passing on the faith to others. Because if this relationship matters, then this relationship with one another is influenced that way. I was reading about the author to the modern praise song, How He Loves, or Oh, How He Loves. John Mark McMillan, a song that echoes God's love for us and is a response of love to him. The chorus simply repeats, oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us so. Congregations have been singing it, but they haven't been singing the passage of it that originated it. He had lost a dear friend in the Lord, and his friend's death led him to look at the Lord and ask again, Lord, do you really love me? And he came to the conclusion in the wordings that he, the Lord, would say it's not true because God is good. We feel that sometimes, but his love is true and good and consistent, and he's inviting us to love him in return. It's the start of this relationship with him. And it's also crucial starting point in thinking about passing on the faith to the next generation. Notice the second action here is of listening. We hear the word hear as an announcement. Verse 3, verse 4, hear this, hear this. The picture is much more involved than just the words hitting our ears, but it's an intricate engagement with the truth being shared. As you go through the Psalms, there's this listening and hearing repeated over and over again. It's inviting us as his people, not just to let the word pass us, but to really internalize what he is saying. Listening to him, and then in turn listening to one another. Do we really listen? Parents, do we really listen to our kids? Grandparents, do we really listen to our kids, grandkids? Caring adults in the congregation, do you really listen to the next generation? A few weeks ago, I was in our kitchen dining room. Our living room kind of connects to our kitchen dining room area. And we have an island there, a lot of papers get thrown there, a lot of different things get just set there. I was standing there, half looking at my phone, half trying to figure out what was going on the island counter, and our youngest son came out, and he was holding a tablet on which he was doing something, and so he asked me a question. Didn't hear it. Dad, Dad, yes. But then by the time I said yes, he had gone back to his tablet. And so the next 2 minutes was this choppy conversation, which I can't even really tell you what it was about, even today, where neither of us were listening. We were so distracted by what's in front of us. Family of God, are you distracted? Family of God, hear what the Word of God is saying. Hear, O Israel, who God is. And, verse 3, be careful to do them. It is a call to listening to him. Third, in addition to loving and listening, it moves then to the living part. Verses 1, 2, and 3 give us this picture of our relationship with God being lived out. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith. Yes, this reality that we go through in Lent and Good Friday and Easter, we're celebrating all that Christ has done for us. But God's word is still calling us to follow him. Verse 1, these are the commandments, the statutes and the rules that the Lord God commanded me to teach you. He has given us his word to observe. Observe is a key word through Scripture. It is understanding what is being said and then following it. This is more than just, again, a passing information. We have listened to the word, and now we are seeking to observe it in the strength that God gives by His Spirit. Here we have, in Deuteronomy 6, a delivered people that are now being given this truth, not to stay on God's good side, but to find the joy and fulfillment of following Him. Verse 2, that they may fear the Lord your God, that this impacts others, that this living the faith impacts other people, keeping His decrees, living in His word. Verse 3, living by God's word has these rewards, spiritually, physically. Are you careful to do them? Why? That it may go well with you. You may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your father, has promised, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Both the sense of the physical provision of our great God, but also the spiritual provision, that it may go well with you. This is not the student who's praying, I know, Lord, I did not study for this math test, but supernaturally give me all the awareness possible on algebra. Okay, that's not the picture. The picture is that their very soul is nurtured because they're going forward observing, living by faith in the living God who is active. The question that comes to us is, do we say it or do we live it? 5 years ago, Lifeway Research Center, a Nashville-based organization, surveyed over 1,060 U.S. adults. And they had a couple simple questions. Are you a Christian? 73% of their phone survey said, yes, I'm a Christian. It was this time of year. It was March leading up to Easter. And one of their follow-up questions to those that said, yes, I am a Christian, one of their follow-up questions was, do you plan to attend Easter worship services? Out of that segment that said, yes, I am a Christian, 41% said they were planning to attend an Easter worship service. Do we say it or do we live it? God's word is calling us to be ones who live this faith, an authenticity that is lived out, empowered by His Spirit, moving forward in confidence in Him. It's living for Him in our families. It's living for Him as the family of God as well. It has both of those pieces together. A few weeks ago, a friend of Jennifer and I invited us to be a part of an escape room. Maybe some of you have done these before. They're popping up all over the place, where it's designed that within a certain designated amount of time, you're locked in a room. Yes, you have to sign a waiver for this. You're locked in a room and have to solve the clues, whether it's detective or spy themed, to get out of the room. Ours was kind of a detective theme piece. My friend had invited his sister and then his wife and her brother and wife and then Jennifer and I as friends. In this situation, we all stepped in, and the one encouragement we had heard, none of us had done this before. The one encouragement we heard is, get started. Don't, you know, try and figure out everything. Just look and get started. Observe what's going on. I'm grateful to report to you that we got out with 9 minutes to spare out of the room and solving it. But it took all of our different gifts. It took this picture of the body being the body. Some of us were good at finding certain clues. Other of us could think through how it all fit together. We need the family and the family of God together in this loving, listening, and living. And that leads us to the fourth piece of this leading others. Verses 6 through 9 stress this picture. Stress how these truths, verse 6, are taken to heart. And then how that impacts others. Psalm 86:11 reminds us, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Psalm 51 has that picture, you will recall, of confession and cleansing. then I will lead others to you. This leading is a part of it. Verse 7, we've commented on the impressing upon the children. Verse 8, the people that came before us took that literally, the Jews. Verse 8 says they bind them on the hand and frontlets between their eyes. They thought maybe if they just physically had this little box, physically tied these things, then that'd be all right. No, God's word is calling us to internalize this. It's picturing this, living it and leading others to it to be actually happening. In Matthew 23, Jesus reminds them about that caution to be just looking spiritual and how we interact so often in that way. But this leading others, so often just looking and watching. You, grandparent age, you are being watched and your example is being drawn from. Parents, single adults, you are being watched and your example is being followed. Teenagers, you're an example to those that come behind you. Kids that are up here being prayed for, you're an example to someone else. We've got to begin to see this spectrum here of loving and listening and living it and leading others to Him. Matt Woodrum has spastic cerebral palsy. A few years ago, Matt opted to run in his field day at Colonial Hills Elementary School. He was respectfully given the opportunity and option to sit this one out, but Matt wanted to run. In a video on YouTube called Boy Inspires Kids, Matt's mom and family captured what happened next. As they lined up on the grass field to start this two-loop run of the length of the race, the whole class takes off, and there's Matt starting. As the group gets halfway around the first lap, Matt's still entering the first turn. As his left leg turned out sideways and his arms uncomfortably swaying to make his way around the loop, the whole class laps Matt and comes in for the second time, and different kids coming in, and there's moderate cheers for those as they finish. And Matt hasn't even got one time around. As Matt passes through the first lap and other kids are talking, something happens. People begin to notice Matt. And on his second time around, a few classmates start cheering. The gym teacher encourages Matt. Parents calling out. And the whole second lap, the cheer begins. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. And with all that Matt has, he makes his second way around to the finish line with abundant cheers from family, from teacher, from classmates. And the Spirit just reminded me, Jason, that's the body of Christ. We need one another. We need to cheer one another on. For this crazy culture and this race of faith is His. And we need, in our broken situations, to rely on one another as the family of God going forward. But Jason, I don't love, I don't listen, I don't live, I don't lead like I should. Jesus Christ has. The one who lovingly came here and embrace the tree for you and me knows love. The one who listened to the Father, the Gospels repeat over and over again how Christ listened to the Father. Jesus, who lived a perfect life, that He, without sin, went to the cross. He has lived this. And He, who led the disciples and the early church, sending his Spirit. He has loved, he has listened, he has lived, he has led, and he is living today for us to encounter him in a real and personal way. This Savior King is at work. He can be trusted. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day for giving us your word. Lord God, forgive us for the times that we've either just focused on the family or just focused on the family of God. Lord, we need both. And Lord God, forgive us for the times that we have not noticed the loving, the listening, the living, and the leading others. Lord, refresh in us a genuine heart for you. And Lord God, revive in us a heart for one another. Lord, may this congregation reflect your truth and your love to one another and to the community around it. Lord, you are our Savior King. In Jesus' name, amen.